Hey, how you doing today? I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food in 2020. 2020. That's fun to say, 2020. And I'm here with our very favorite featured guest and my best friend, Gary DeMattei.
Yes, 2020.
And whoever thought we'd get to 2020?
2020. It's clearer in 2020
We
what
hope
we all
so.
need to do to make things better. And
Is C 2020 somehow?
right.
And we've got the answers right here.
Right here at Responsible Eating and Living. I am the co-founder of Responsible Eating and Living. And apparently your favorite guests. Oh, here I am again.
Thank you.
Did I say guests? Yeah, there are two of me.
No, you just said guests with a very wet. Anyway,
Yeah.
we're getting silly as we always do.
Oh, it's going to be a silly day. It's very cold here in New York City. Silly cold, as a matter of fact. You walk out, you come back in, and you're just frozen. Your brain is frozen.
And Frozen is the name of a new Broadway musical.
Yes, well, not so new,
Not
but
so new. And a new sequel movie, Frozen 2.
Frozen 2. A lot of people are talking about it. I guess it's pretty good.
Yeah, we're not talking about it.
No, well, we just did.
Oops.
And I guess Disney needs us to talk about it because it doesn't have enough people talking about it.
I guess. Let it go, Gary.
Thank you,
Let it
Karen.
go. Let it go.
Oh, great. Now we're going to get sued by
Earwormed. Okay, no, we're not.
the
No,
Lopezes.
we don't want to do that.
Okay.
Okay, what are we talking about today, Gary?
We're talking about how when you tune into Responsible Eating and Living, you hear the truth long before it becomes something that's in the mainstream, right?
I got a great example, Gary.
Yeah, you do have a great example. What? Well, go ahead and let us know what that great
Does
example is.
anybody read a little paper called the New York Times?
I do, I do.
We both read it, and it apparently a lot of people read it because some people have been sending me the link to an article in the New York Times about something called
Veganuary.
Veganuary.
Repeat. That's also fun to say.
Veganuary, it is.
Veganuary. See, it's a play on January and vegan, so
Oh,
they call it, well, you knew that.
I knew that. And when did I know that? I knew that 5 years
5 years
ago.
ago is when you did this. Well, you tell them.
Okay, so Veganuary is a pledge that people can take in January, in the new year, when people are making their goals for the new year, they're
Called
making
resolutions.
their resolutions. Maybe we should have a result. No, it doesn't work with a V.
Veganuary is a UK, United Kingdom, nonprofit organization that encourages people to go vegan for the month of January as a way to promote and educate about a vegan lifestyle. Since the event began in 2014, participation has more than doubled each year.
So I heard about it in 2014.
And you talked to the founders,
I had them on
Matthew.
in 2015, just when Veganuary round two was taking place, Matthew Glover and Jane Land. And you can listen to that interview by going to responsibleeatingandliving.com and just putting Veganuary or Matthew Glover into the search bar and pop, it'll be there. But the point is, the New York Times is just talking about it now.
Yes. And the candidates, everybody's talking about climate change, but nobody's talking about, they're talking about what needs to be cut back,
Like
right?
fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels and things. But nobody's talking about how simple it is to just stop eating animals and you would be a big
What a
help.
dramatic difference that would make on the
Right.
climate. Well, Cory Booker kind of talked about it, but
But
he's
he
not
dropped
running
out.
anymore.
He was the only one that was
Yeah, and Marianne
sort of.
Williamson was sort of talking about it. Marianne, did I say Marianne? I don't, and however she says her name, but she talked a bit about the food system and how a mess it is.
But
But
nobody wants to come right out and say, go
go
vegan,
vegan.
help climate change.
That's right. And when people are making resolutions,
But how long have we been saying it here at
oh,
Responsible Eating and
please, I'm a
Living?
broken record. We've been doing it ever
S
since we
since the
started.
very beginning.
Yes.
And what are we saying to our listeners today? check in with us when you hear about something.
Because we say it first.
We'll know the answer. Okay, and if we don't, we'll find out for you.
And another thing, we don't say it because we're looking for clicks.
We're certainly not looking for clicks.
We're not looking for clicks. We're not looking for more subscribers to a newsletter. We're not looking to make money. We're just
We're not looking for more sponsors.
We're just putting out the truth.
Right. The only people that we kind of quasi-feature on our website, and here's a segue into a story that I know you want to talk about, the Crystal Geyser story.
Oh, please.
Is how we have distilled our water here at Responsibly Eating and Living since I've been a member, which is the very beginning, and you've been doing it long before anybody was talking about
distilling water
and how bad bottled water is, not only for the environment, again, but how bad bottled water is for the
environment and for water in general.
So let's talk about this story.
So when people are making resolutions to go on a diet, to lose weight, to get healthier, I think a great resolution would be clean up the water in your house. Because we all need to be drinking water.
Right.
And water needs to be clean.
Right.
And there are numerous ways to do it. Some people have the Brita filter, and it's a good start, but it's not very good. And it's especially not good if you're not changing the filter inside, because that's the problem with filters. They need to be changed. And as soon as you start using a filter that's going to filter out impurities, as soon as you start using it, it's degrading. It's becoming less effective. And so you've probably heard me say this before. I chose distillation because it's always the same. The cleaning impact is always the same and always at the top of its game. And that's the same with reverse osmosis. There's a filter in there, a membrane. And as soon as you start using it, its efficacy goes down. Okay, now why do we want to drink clean water? It's good for us. And why do we want to use our tap water? Because it's a lot less energy intensive and wasteful than buying our water in bottles. When we buy water in bottles, we're using far more water to get the water in the bottle to begin with. Plastic is a disaster. We should all be working very hard on reducing and eliminating the amount of plastic in our lives. It's dreadful for the environment. It's dreadful for the ocean, for all the sea animals that are getting tangled up in all the plastic that's going on there. But wait, let me add one more thing, because we live in a corrupt capitalistic society.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the news about Crystal Geyser?
Yes, I have.
So back in 2013, it was discovered, based on the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board, they took a sample of what is from a little pond called the Arsenic Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arsenic Pond is where Crystal Geyser was dumping water that had arsenic in it. So what they were doing was they were taking groundwater from the Sierra Nevada mountains. Now, it just so happens that that water contains arsenic. It's natural.
But it contains arsenic.
So Crystal Geyser, to put it in a bottle, needed to take that arsenic out. And then they would take the arsenic that they removed, this wastewater, this contaminated wastewater, and they would put it into a man-made pond that they called, lovingly, Arsenic Pond.
Right. But they called it Arsenic Pond not because there was arsenic in it, but because they were putting arsenic in it.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, well, here's this pond that has arsenic. Let's just dump more arsenic.
No, they created it.
They created this pond.
And then it was discovered that the concentration of arsenic in this pond was more than 8 times the hazardous waste limit. And this creates a risk for the area groundwater.
Right.
Okay, so they had to clean it up. But it took a while because more testing had to be done, and everything takes a long time. So here we are, 2 years later in 2015. And this company, which is called CG Roxanne, CG for Crystal Geyser.
You're still telling the story because we're not in 2015. We're in 2020.
Yes, I'm still telling the story.
Right, okay, good.
Which is 5 years ago, 2015.
I didn't want everybody to think they were tuning in to something in 2015 because you said, here we are in 2015.
Oh, well, that's...
But you're telling the story.
Yes, so... Thank you for clarifying.
No, that's okay.
Can I throw something at you?
There's still quotes on this thing. Okay.
Okay, it's 2015, not today, but in the story. And the company got a list of violations, and they had to arrange to remove the stuff in Arsenic Pond. Okay, so what do they do? They've already done a disastrous thing. So let's just make more disaster. And that's what they did. They hired a couple of hazardous waste and transport companies, and they had them remove the contents of the pond without a proper manifest, without identifying that wastewater was hazardous and that they were carrying this hazardous material. And
what happened?
Some of it actually was discharged. Oh. Only 23,000 gallons of wastewater. Oh, I have to say allegedly, excuse me. It was allegedly discharged into a sewer without appropriate treatment.
Into the sewer.
It's a sewer.
Nice. But a sewer is not a sewer. I mean, you know,
it's treated.
I mean, this water goes back into.
Anyway, that's Crystal Geyser, folks.
Crystal Geyser,
and they pleaded guilty to two felony offenses. I'm so excited, I can't even say felony. And there are a few more hearings that are going to be coming out. They've agreed to pay, I think, $5 million so far, and there's more to come. But the point is, you can't trust anybody except
Responsible Eating and Living.
Me and Gary at Responsible Eating and Living.
Karen and me. Karen and I.
We just tell the truth.
Because we want you to have the truth. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. And a lot of folks, again, with these debates that everybody's talking about, hey, everybody's talking about climate change. Gee, I wonder why. But why is nobody talking about going vegan? A few people are.
More people are. Well, the New York Times actually had the balls to talk about Veganuary in an article. And they had another article. It was kind of a silly article, but they talked about...
Did you just say balls?
Hey, you remember that the cattlemen said that I had more balls than their
That's
bulls.
That's right.
But that was a long time ago.
Not that long
ago. There was another feature that highlighted the Mooshoes people and their organic market, what is it called, in Manhattan, and how this one actor was going there to find treats because she's trying to go vegan.
Right.
Anyway, that was another article in New York Times. Anyway, we're becoming more accepted, more normal, more mainstream.
Right.
And now let's talk about the award ceremonies.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, before we leave Veganuary.
Oh, and before we leave water.
We have to talk a little bit more about Veganuary and a little bit more about water, but they sort of go hand in hand.
I want to tell you, clean up your water, please, because water's important. We here at home, we use a water distiller. It's called Aqua Nui. I love this machine. We talk about going to the well every day. That means going to our machine and draining it and refilling it and pressing the button and starting it up again. But it makes a big difference.
Yes. And there are distillers out there that aren't as complex, I guess you could say, as Aqua Nui or as big as Aqua Nui. They're small distillers
out
there.
It's a simple feature that the Aqua Nui has that the cheaper ones don't have. And how do I know this? Because I've had a few of the cheaper ones, and they've all died on
me. But you've also interviewed Aqua Nui.
I did. I like them.
Yeah.
The difference is when you distill from a chamber, the other machines distill everything off. So here you are clearing off all the contamination, and at the very end, it gets vaporized too.
Right.
And you don't want that in your water. So Aqua Nui, they clearly leave a safety margin of water in the container so that any of the contaminants that are still collecting there don't get into your purified water.
Right. Very important. And also, there's a lot that we talk about with respect to people that should be looking after you and your water and making sure that it's clean. And we all know that the stories in the news are an abomination about what's going on, for example, in Flint, Michigan. So there are things that we all have to do now. We have to take it into our own hands to make sure that these toxins aren't getting into our bodies, because what do toxins lead to? And why did we found Responsible Eating?
Well, cancer is one of them.
Right.
I know that's the very likely big reason why I had my advanced ovarian cancer.
Right. And now all of these stories about talcum powder, for example.
Talcum powder. And I'm waiting for the stories about tampons, but maybe I have to reveal that story.
You have also mentioned that there was talcum powder on tampons, wasn't there?
No, it was dioxin.
Dioxin.
So it was dioxin in the tampons when they bleach them to make them look pure and white before you use them, and they're not so white anymore,
right.
But there's dioxin in them.
And so what we're here for is to try and keep you hip to all of that stuff going on out there that you're not going to get information on, because as Karen mentioned, it's a capitalistic society, and they're trying to sell you things. I mean, that's why there are advertising majors in college. There are departments about because it's there to have you buy things. Mm-hmm. That's what you're considered. We always joke around about attention consumers, because that's basically what we are.
We're consumers, not citizens.
We're consumers, not
we
citizens.
We want you to be a citizen.
And that's really why we're here, to remind you that citizens are we, not consumers.
We really are citizens, and we are here in a very big community, and we should be nurturing our community.
Right, and taking care of one another.
Not just buying stuff.
And taking care of one another, not trying to sell people on buying stuff from us, because that's not what we're about.
Right.
We don't want to sell you any programs. We don't want to sell you any what are some of the things that companies like ours are doing? They're claiming to be plant-based, leaning towards a plant-based lifestyle almost 100%, but not really. I mean, if you want to eat a little bit of this or that, that's, you know, you can. But, I mean, that's just, they're trying to get people to buy their program, right?
Yeah, because if you sound very rigid and restrictive, people are not going to come and play with you.
Right. And we're very rigid and restrictive.
We are. But we're telling you the truth.
But we want you to know it's a jungle out there, and not in the good way. It's a jungle.
Okay, so back to Veganuary.
Yeah,
what
we
made a collection of recipes that we thought would work very nicely for January.
Right. And they're on our website, and you can make all of them in February. It doesn't have to be January.
Yes, you could make them in December or March.
Right. But we figured we'd call it Veganuary, because everybody else is now jumping onto this Veganuary bandwagon, which we've already talked about 5 years ago.
Oh, gosh, we've talked about it.
With the founders. So it's a great way to bring it back, you know?
Yes.
Because sometimes when you're a little bit ahead of your time, it's good to come and recycle some of that stuff.
I'm delighted that Veganuary has taken off, and that the number of followers or people that are pledging doubles each year. That's a beautiful thing.
And speaking of people pledging to go plant-based, we talked the last couple of times I've been on your show about my favorite vegan, next to you, of course. My favorite celebrity vegan,
next to you, of course.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. And so did you hear the news about Joaquin winning the SAG Award? And then what did he do immediately following the SAG Award? What did Joaquin do? In his tuxedo, he went to a pig vigil.
He was witnessing pigs that were going to be slaughtered. And this is something that they do at the Los Angeles Animal Save Group.
Right.
And who spoke to the founder of Los Angeles Animal Save on a little program called It's All About Food?
This very program, Karen Hartglass.
That's right. So we've connected with the Animal Save people.
So Joaquin Phoenix won the award for Best Actor for his role in The Joker at the 26th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards on Sunday. And apparently he was in a Stella McCartney suit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now, Paul McCartney's daughter is now, you know, she's a phenomenal fashion designer. And she's now a vegan fashion designer. So he's in his Stella McCartney suit, and he went straight to the slaughterhouse vigil run by the Los Angeles Animal Save to bear witness to pigs who were about to be sent to slaughter. And
and why did he do that?
Well, what he added to a lot of his questions when he was asked why did you do something like this? Someone said when he was asked why he bears witness to animals being sent to slaughter, he replied, because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you love the guy?
I love the guy.
I love the guy. And so let's talk a little bit, just while we're on that subject, about animal rights. And it kind of is a theme with me that I'm a new vegan compared to you. You've been a
vegan. He keeps saying this, okay, but he's been vegan now for, what, 13 years?
Since 2007. Yeah, 13 years.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, people hear the word animal rights going around, right? And so, and basically what animal rights are rights believed to belong to animals to live free from use in, and the explanation doesn't even talk about food, which is really funny, but I'll add it. Rights believed to belong to animals to live free from use in medical research, hunting, and other services to humans is the way they've described it. And those other services to humans, I'm afraid.
Does that include my bacon?
Yeah, that includes eating. So these animals have rights, according to groups that are animal rights groups.
Mm-hmm.
We are also an animal rights group.
Yes.
And we don't talk about that a lot, but responsible eating and living exists primarily because Karen Hartglass went vegan because she doesn't want to harm animals.
Yes.
And before that, she was a vegetarian.
Yes, before I knew what I knew.
Before you know what you know about dairy and all of that. So with that, that's the
foundation
of what we do.
Yeah.
So when we hear about people who go vegan primarily because they believe animals have rights, and one of those rights is not to be eaten, not to serve humans. So then why does everyone believe that they have to have this animal protein to survive? Again, the theme of the show is because they've been brainwashed into thinking, just like they've been brainwashed into thinking that soy is bad for you.
Yes.
And they've been brainwashed into thinking that bottled water is good for you because
yeah.
it gets clean, you know, it's a clean source of water that
it's
you don't.
It's not clean. It's contaminated with degrading plastic, and it's a disaster for the environment.
So when you're going vegan, and of course, a lot of people now trying to sell you going vegan are going to make movies about, you know, look at all of these sports heroes going vegan and look at all of these movie stars going vegan, but it does help. And so the latest movie star, huge movie star to go vegan, apparently is Robert Downey Jr.
Iron Man. And Dr. Doolittle.
His joke was, I'm going plant-based for cash and legumes. And, of course, that's an absurd statement. But, you know, legumes are a big part of the vegan diet.
Yes, they should be. I mean, you could be on a Oreo cookie and Coca-Cola vegan diet, which we don't recommend, by the way.
Which we don't recommend. But and while you're on the subject of Coca-Cola, you dropped the name. Diet Coke is another thing that I've talked about on this show before that I found out a long time ago. Was the thing that I was supposed to drink if I wanted to lose weight. And then enter Karen Hartglass into my life. What I learned from Karen, which is another reason we thought, hey, let's send it out over the airwaves. You need to do this. You need to tell people all about these things that you've told me.
Diet Coke and other artificial sweeteners or other food products that contain things like aspartame and artificial sweetener increase or stimulate your appetite. So you're drinking it and it makes you hungry.
Right. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also used as a solvent for cleaning cars and things like that. So
yeah. Why not?
You could take the rust off a metal with Diet Coke. Can you imagine what it's doing to your insides? Anyway, Diet Coke is not going to...
We don't recommend Diet Coke.
We're not going to get threatened
or
by...
any.
But whenever I see people trying to lose weight, and I've been somebody who has had a problem with weight my entire life until I went vegan, and now my weight is off and stable. But anybody who's told that they, you know, that they need to lose weight immediately reaches for diet beverages, and don't drink water, but distill your water first.
Yeah, I mean, we're telling you a lot. And not only do you not want to drink diet beverages, but you don't want to drink sugary beverages.
Right. But what I found out also by, you know, following this lifestyle and reading and listening to a lot of the podcasts of people that you've talked to is, yeah, sugar's bad. Sugar's horrible. But it's not as bad as some of this other stuff that that we're eating because we're not eating sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying eat sugar, but a little sugar once in a while.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Exactly.
A little bit is okay every once in a while. And there was an old study that was promoted, of course, off the top of my head, I don't remember it exactly, but you've heard it. And that was the doctor that cured people of diabetes, feeding them white rice and sugar foods.
Right, because sugar does not cause diabetes.
No, it causes a problem if you have diabetes and you're overloading your blood with sugar because your blood isn't able to take that sugar and get it into the cells where it needs to be because the cells are blocked by animal fat.
That's exactly what causes the diabetes, the animal fat.
Yeah.
So what they should be telling you is get
eat
off
plants.
The animals, eat plant, and you might even be able to reverse your diabetes.
Yes, good
and
chance.
Dr. Barnard says that.
He does. Dr. Furman says that.
Dr. Furman says that.
Many vegan doctors, plant-based doctors say that. Dr.
Right.
Greger says that.
So whenever I hear anybody say, you know, I have diabetes, I can't have sugar, what I really want to say in 2020, and this is one of my resolutions, is, you know what? If you get off the animal, if you stop eating meat, that diabetes is going to go away. And you might even be able to have, again, a little piece of chocolate once in a while.
Without any guilt.
Without any guilt. That's really what I'm going to say. That's my resolution. Because we did it the other day, or not the other day, about a month or so ago, and our friends with Stan and Maura at a party. And
table one.
Table five. Talked to table one and said, do it. And Stan's doing it. I can't wait to hear how he's doing.
I know. Maybe one day he'll call into this show.
Yeah.
Just like any of you can call into this show and tell us how you're doing and ask questions and report in.
So what you're not going to, we're not going to give you the soft sell here at Responsible Eating. And we're going to be like the, you know, we're going to give you the truth. And that's what we mean by the truth. We're not going to sugarcoat it, no pun intended. Like a lot of these organizations do that are trying to sell you something. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're just trying to give you the truth. And that's why we're here. So,
how many people know people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, diabetes, like we were mentioning?
I'm raising my hand.
Heart disease?
I'm raising my hand high.
Or an autoimmune disease like lupus?
Oh.
Multiple sclerosis.
Oh. explain autoimmune disease, you know, because that's a really...
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's like it's one of those new frontiers, gut, the microbiome, the medical community, the scientific community are just starting to learn about it. But it's when the body, which has this beautiful, brilliant immune system.
Right.
That's continually working in our favor to protect us against anything that we might take in, either through our food or through our breathing or through our skin. And we live in a very toxic environment, so the immune system is working hard all day long. Sometimes things go awry, and one of the theories is that in our gut, there's this membrane or this layer that is porous, and it lets digested food from the stomach get into the bloodstream. And sometimes that membrane gets holes in it, gets leaky, and it allows more things into the bloodstream that are undigested and shouldn't go there.
Right.
And then our beautiful, intelligent immune system sees something foreign and it wants to attack it. And then there's a kind of like molecular mimicry thing going on where when they see something that looks similar to that foreign bad thing, it will attack the thing that's similar that's good.
Right.
So people might have problems digesting a certain kind of food because the body has learned to attack that kind of food. Now, wheat is a problem, and lots of other people have difficulty digesting beans, and they have all kinds of food-related problems today. And it's the theory is because their gut is leaky, and you have to – it's hard to heal, but it means stop taking in the foods that are causing problems, and that includes the foods that you can't eat anymore, and then take in the foods that you can tolerate that are nutrient dense, green juices and pureed vegetables, things that have a lot of great nutrition that and healing properties that allow your gut to heal. And then slowly you can reincorporate foods that you weren't able to eat so that you ultimately have a whole healthy digestive system. But there are lots of different autoimmune diseases that manifest themselves in different ways. So one of them is multiple sclerosis. And what happens is the body learns how to attack itself.
Turn on itself,
really, so that the muscles are stop working. And it's really a devastating thing
devastating,
to see.
Yes, and so sad.
Yeah. So there are many autoimmune diseases out there, and they're all different. But in many ways, the solution or the treatment is in the alternative healthy nutrition world is the same. It's
right.
Not the same in the medical community, which has a different sexy drug for every disease.
Right.
And unfortunately, some of these drugs, where they may slow down the impact of the disease over time, they don't cure it, and they may cause cancer.
Right.
Like a lot of the drugs for Crohn's disease, for example, cause cancer, and we know people that have died.
Right.
Because of that.
Right. Well, and so that's why a holistic approach, would this be called?
Sure.
In addition to taking what's best from the medical community, which is what you did to cure your advanced ovarian cancer.
Integrative approach. Bit of everything. It really depends on what you have.
But being aware of what's out there for you.
Yes.
Not just believing one source of information.
Because how many times have we said we've offered to help?
Right.
And
as soon as we say, but you're going to have to clean up your diet and you're going to have to go plant-based, immediately they have said no. And these folks, a lot of them are no longer with us. Now, I'm not saying that was because they didn't listen to us, but maybe I'm saying that was because they didn't listen to us. But I'm a witness to what you did. I'm a witness to the doctors, you know, because I came into your life.
When I was sick.
Before you were sick.
Well,
right before you
I
were
was
sick, and then
I
you
just
got sick.
I didn't know it.
Right. And you were diagnosed. And so I took the journey with you. It's a no-brainer. But what I remember was you were vigilant about finding out everything about the disease, not just believing in one source. And that's why you're such a valuable resource now. And I was there when the doctor said, you know, you have a 10 to 20% survival rating. So,
and just,
wow, what a rating that is.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Well,
thankfully,
I wanted to be one of the 10%.
Right.
I always like to be the top 10%.
So what we're saying is, I mean, and I've experienced it firsthand in my own life, you know, obese most of my life, and then adopted a plant-based diet, and weight sheds immediately and energy spikes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically as simple as I can make it. And the food is delicious, and I mean, I don't miss. And then once you know, I've said this a million times, I've said it ad nauseum, but I mean, once the veil is lifted, you kind of see how everything connects. And, you know, that means the environment, that means, oh, animal abuse is now something I don't contribute to anymore.
You know, you were talking about animal rights before. Can you hit us with some numbers? I don't know if often talk about numbers, but sometimes the numbers are so overwhelming. I remember people would say about 60 to 70 billion land animals were killed every year for food. And if you add fish to that, I mean, like 70 or 80 or 60 billion isn't big enough for you.
Right.
It gets even bigger.
There's a kill clock. It's animal slaughter kill counter. And if you go to the website, so basically what it says is animal slaughter counter. More than 150 billion animals are slaughtered every year. 150 billion.
So that includes land
and sea.
That includes
wild caught fish, pigs, sheep, pigeons.
Yeah, is that
chickens.
Enough for you? Is that enough? Is that number big enough?
Yeah.
Can you fathom that amount?
Yeah.
150 billion.
150 billion animals.
Every year.
Every
death.
And this one counts, this website counts animals per second. So like right now, since I've been on the website, I've been on 35 seconds. It says that there are 80,500 chickens that have been killed in those 35 seconds. So 55,000 farmed fish, a million and a half wild caught fish in 45 seconds, 3,000 pigs in a second in this 50 seconds, 1,000 sheep, 700 cattle, 6,000 ducks. All of these animals are being killed as I'm talking to you right now.
It's really a fascinating thing to try and visualize that as just by the seconds.
Yeah. One animal, you know, we're outraged if we see one animal killed, but we turn away. It's so abstract that the millions and millions and millions and millions of animals killed every year, billions of animals killed every year, including sea animals. We just turn away. It's interesting.
Well, we treat animals badly, we treat the environment badly, and we treat our fellow human beings badly.
Right.
And yet I'm hopeful.
Because there are some of us out there that don't.
Yes. And you hope that there's this this momentum and this turning point.
Right.
Where at some point, as the group gets bigger of people who do not believe in exploitation of any living thing.
Right.
As it gets bigger, we hit a turning point. And then I like to think of the global consciousness and whether you believe in a global consciousness of where your mind may go when you die. And there are some scientists actually trying to look into that global consciousness, or whether it exists just in all of us who are alive. I do think there is this global consciousness. And if there are enough of us that are thinking a certain way, and that could be a good way or a bad way, the global consciousness can kind of take over.
Right.
And influence even more. So I'm looking for a turning point where enough people have this veil lifted, have this epiphany, and realize, no, I don't want to participate in eating animals, killing animals for food. I don't want to do that.
Right. But what is the reason that good people do eat animals? To me, it's because they've been told by their families, their parents,
sure,
the people who raised them, that if they didn't eat animals, they would get sick. And the reality of that, which is why all of these folks are now figuring this out, these artists who are in the public eye are now speaking out about it, is because it's the opposite. Eating animals makes you sick.
And makes the planet sick.
But you're not, you know, it's like a lot of people are you know, they're really on this bandwagon about adopting pets, but then they turn around and go out and eat burgers and fries and call themselves animal rights activists. I mean, I know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to talk to them about, you know, what you try to have a conversation with them about, but you're eating animals, they don't want to hear it. They just put up the hand and tell you to shut up. Don't you tell me I don't love animals. It's basically what I usually get. So, but the truth is, eating animals makes you sick. And there's something that a lot of folks are finally catching on to.
Okay, so we have some 15, 20 minutes left. And can we talk about delicious food?
Yes.
Because I always like to end on a high note. And to me, the thing that will get people to change most is knowing that they're not deprived and that this food is fantastic. So one of the things people talk about these days is intermittent fasting.
Right.
Where it's really important to, after your last meal in the evening, make sure it's not too late, so that there's time to digest it before going to sleep. And then before you have your first meal in the morning, there's at least 12 hours to 16 hours. Some even say 18 hours. But 12 to 16 is a good gauge. And, okay, we go to bed late a lot. And sometimes we eat late. But we definitely have that very often. We have that 12 to 16 hour break before our first meal. And lately, there have been a few days where we've just had one meal.
Right.
And I want to talk about being sated.
Right.
Because the other day we put out this feast, and I haven't posted it yet on my blog, but I will. It'll probably happen later today.
Big feast.
We put out a big feast of healthy food.
Right.
And at the end of it, you said, can we eat like this all the time?
Right.
And what did we have? We had
a lot of food.
A lot of food.
We had potatoes. We had corn chowder. We had
a Israeli salad, a Middle Eastern salad, cucumber, tomato, parsley, garbanzo beans. It had a little tahini dressing, romaine lettuce.
We just ate a lot of food.
But it was.
And we're experimenting with some vegan einkorn flour that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about that, too.
Last time on the show, I talked about einkorn flour.
But the point is, we ate a lot of food that was all plant-based. There was no oil in any of the food.
No oil, none.
But we did eat fat, and the fat
avocado
really helped that satiety. So you made this spectacular pesto, which is like crack to me. Can you tell us what was in that pesto?
Oh, we didn't have any fresh basil because, you know, there's not a lot of fresh organic basil out right now. You can find it in certain places, but it comes from thousands of miles away. So, but there is frozen spinach. And so I made a spinach pesto with walnuts and dried basil, no oil. The fat was actually provided by the walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and fresh garlic and some water.
Miso. You put miso.
And a little miso and a little nutritional yeast.
The thing about blending walnuts, when you blend them up, they get really oily.
Right.
Because there's a natural oil in
them. Walnut pesto is, you know, I mean, I didn't invent it. It's a no-brainer.
No, but, oh my God, this was such a good spread. And I loved it on my potatoes.
Yeah.
And it gives you this satiety.
Yes. It makes you, another word for that is it really
fills you up.
Satisfies.
Am I using a big word?
No. I just don't like the word. That's very satisfying. But, you know, you have to say it because it's true.
Yes. Anyway.
So one meal was fine when you eat like that.
That was the only meal we had.
Right. It was just this big feast.
So we had it late in the day, like 3 o'clock or something.
Yeah. It was like we were in Europe or something. We just had like this.
And then we would just do stuff the rest of the day. It was amazing.
It actually powered us.
And I'm saying that because many people who try to go vegan, they say they're always hungry. You said it.
I did say it.
And the point is you need to eat a lot of food. And what's wrong with that? That's fun.
It's a lot of fun. But you really don't need to eat a lot of food. You just need to eat the right foods, like you said. You make sure you eat, nuts and seeds, for example. And if you can't eat nuts and seeds, have some other foods that have natural oils in them.
Right.
And there's a lot of them out there.
Avocado and coconut. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so now let's do an update on the einkorn. Einkorn.
Yeah, so we bought some einkorn, organic einkorn flour, and we've been making some bread and eating a little bit of it at some of these meals.
Now, I've said on this program that wheat upsets me.
Right.
And I've made these pledges where I said I don't want to eat any more wheat or gluten, and remind me when I do. And I have gluten from time to time. We eat out and I indulge. But I have to tell you something. Sometimes when I eat wheat and gluten, I have a problem.
Right. You get headaches.
I get hemorrhoids.
Right. And so you're actually the test human on this one.
So there's something in my gut
that
gets affected.
And how's it been thus far?
Well, I think I've figured it out. I think when I consume a conventional refined wheat, that's when I have a problem. And that could be due to the glyphosate that's used to desiccate the wheat before it's harvested. It could be a combination. I'm also really into the impact of things working together or working together to do good or working together to do bad, because some ingredients together may wreak havoc. So it could be glyphosate and something else. It could be the refined wheat and something else. But when I eat organic, like an organic barley or an organic farro or a bread product that's all organic, I don't have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, I'm not telling people that have celiac that you can consume an organic whole grain that has gluten in it and not have a problem.
That's not what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. But for some of us who are sensitive or find different issues when consuming wheat, it could just be the conventional industrial wheats that have other stuff in them.
Right.
At least that's
good.
What's happening.
Well, I'm glad, because the last couple of days we've had some of this.
So I baked bread.
Bread that you baked, and we're seeing what effect it has on you.
And we're not eating a lot of bread.
No.
But just enough to make it
And
nice.
5 years from now, you'll hear stories in the New York Times about how all of these folks who were afraid to eat wheat just needed to eat.
The right kind of
wheat. The right kind of wheat. Not the hybridized, not the glyphosate wheat, but the really organic.
Well, how is it that humanity, so much of humanity, over thousands of years has lived on bread?
Right. And it was probably bread that was
the ancient grains
that,
similar to einkorn,
that we're now buying for
thousands of dollars. Yeah, it's not cheap.
The street value of einkorn is astronomical. Let me tell you, it was like, $7 for 12 ounces. Well, that's nice.
Okay, let's talk about that, the cost of healthy food, because that's a knee-jerk reaction a lot of people have when they want to eat better and then they see the prices of food.
Right.
What I recommend is figure out whatever percentage it is, if it's 10% more or 20% more, whatever it is. If you can figure out what your food bill is for the year and figure out what 10 or 20% more is, can you afford that? It turns out it's not a lot.
Yeah. No, and I think,
for most of us,
it's
not
a lot. That's the thing that I've heard you say a million times on this show. You're worth it. People are worth it. I mean, it's either that or you're going to go to TJ Maxx and spend a bunch of money on
stuff
you don't need. Turn that around and take some of that TJ Maxx, Marshall's money. I mean, I don't know why I'm dropping these names. These guys don't need me to promote it.
Promote them or not promote them.
Right. But it's like, we're not wealthy people, folks.
We are not wealthy people.
And so, but we
far
have.
Far from it.
We realize that food is medicine. That's basically what we're saying here. Food is the medicine that you should invest in, as opposed to pharmaceuticals that are just going to make you sick in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, we know people close to us that pop Advil every 20 minutes. You know, it's like every day, oh, I got a headache, I'll take an Advil.
Right.
How much does the Advil cost every week?
Right. And what is causing the headache? Maybe that's what we should...
Well, of course, many headaches are food related.
You've often said that as soon as you've eaten bad wheat...
I would get a headache.
You'd get a headache.
Mm-hmm. I used to. I don't. For some reason, fortunately, I'm not getting headaches.
Right. Well, that's good. So, anyway, you're worth it. And we're going to continue to tell you that if you tune in and listen to us at Responsible Eating and Living's It's All About Food. Now and it's...
It will be... We'll have our 11th anniversary in March.
11 years.
Yeah.
You've been
blabbing about food.
and interviewing some amazing guests.
Yes, including Gary DeMattei.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially. I mean, everybody knows that. Duh. But it's very exciting. And, you can't talk about climate change without talking about...
Food.
Food. Okay.
Plant food.
Going plant based.
But they do.
And that was just really, the debate was just sad because of that. So how many minutes we got left?
We got 5 minutes.
Let's talk about your blog.
Well, you know, I'm...
And all this food that we've got up here.
There's a few blogs that I'm going to be posting. I was just prepping the photos. And one of the photos had this dessert I made the mm-hmm. other day. You know, sometimes we all get cravings, and I don't get sweet cravings very often, but the other day I said it out loud, I wanted to have like some sort of chocolate nut caramel cluster.
Right, that was yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I looked at what we had. We had a few little chocolate chips, non-dairy of course, in the refrigerator. We had almonds, we had coconut flakes, and then I thought, Almond Joy.
Right, remember those?
Yes. And I melted some chocolate and mixed it with almonds and coconut, and it was my own, better than an Almond Joy.
Right. And it looked really good. I didn't have any because I was eating raisins.
That's Gary's candy. He's
dried fruit is my candy.
He's a little obsessed with raisins, but that's fine.
With all dried fruit. But raisins are the easiest to get.
Okay.
But I mean, dried peaches, dried pears. Mm. But as far as organic dried peaches and dried pears, it's tough to get them. Dried apricots, which we make apricot butter or apricot butter.
Have you tried our apricot butter yet?
So easy.
Why not?
Cups of water, one bag of organic Turkish apricots or apricots.
Yeah, a pound. Let's say a pound of organic apricots. You put them all in a pot, boil it up till it's soft.
20 minutes I boil mine and then put it in the Vitamix. And you've got the best apricot jam you've ever had.
Oh, my God. So good.
It's really
tastes
good.
Like caramel.
And there's no sugar.
That's our secret. That's a secret recipe that we've been blasting for years.
And I made a prune butter because you bought some prunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I added some apricots to the prune butter, and I made it a little bit sweeter. And a couple of dates.
And how do you make prune butter? The same way you make apricot
same
butter.
Same way, pound of prunes. Make sure you take the pits out. Especially if you have a Vitamix. I did that once. I had a pitted apricots, but the manufacturer left a pit in, and I had to throw the whole batch out.
Okay, well, that's...
Check through your apricots, your prunes, whatever dried fruit you use to make your butters, and make sure there's no pits.
Yes, or spatulas, like I did.
Yeah.
I left a spatula in the Vitamix not too long ago and blended it all up, and you couldn't even see it. Oh, my goodness.
It was really hysterical.
How did I do that?
Ground spatula butter. All right. Mm. Anyway, so what else can we talk about with respect to Veganuary and food? So these recipes on the homepage at responsibleeatingandliving.com, did you know we have an app?
I love how you always talk about the app.
Yeah, and I always have to talk about the app and PRN. Because that's who we're broadcasting through.
Thank you, Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network. And so all of these Veganuary dishes that you see up there, and there's so many others, But these are all fantastic in winter. Like one of them is the Real Vegan Style Meatloaf. That's fabulous.
Well, when are you going to make that, Gary?
Yeah, we have to make that.
You haven't made that in a long time.
Our red bean and millet burger. You know, I like the concept of people now buying veggie burgers like Beyond Burger and Impossible Burger. But they're so much better when you make them yourself. So, but, you know, sometimes people don't have the time. So check out our red bean and millet burgers.
I'm not going to slam the Impossible Burger, but I am. It's got glyphosate residue in it, and it's genetically modified.
Right. So if you got to do one of those burgers, do the Beyond Burger.
Yeah, that's our vote.
Yeah. Beyond Burgers are great. But my favorite recipe on the homepage right now for Veganuary is the ramen noodle soup. That's a really good one. Check that one out. It's really
comforting.
I like them. And I know you'll probably go for the miso vegetable soup.
Yes, another comforting.
And then what else? There's just so many.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. All right. Well, listen.
Okay, everybody.
Have a delicious time.
I'm not ready for that yet. I want to hear from you. The email is info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. Are you taking a Veganuary pledge? Are you taking any kind of pledge? Have you made a resolution to eat more plants or go vegan or purify your water? Do you have water questions? We're here. info@realmeals.org. Let's hear from you. Let's hear your comments and your questions. And visit us at responsibleeatingandliving.com.
Thank you.
And now, everybody.
Thank you, Progressive Radio Network.
And have a delicious week.